Blog Talk Radio. Storybox Audio.
Good Sunday evening. This is the Sunday show on Hear Me Monsters Radio. And with me tonight are my co-hosts, author and historian Ronald Feynman, and co-op, op-editor, verbal op-editor, Wayne Johnson. And I'm just the producer sits back and mouths off, Gwen Berry. So anyway, welcome to the show, and please feel free to call in. I don't say that often enough, do I? And the call-in number is 323-784-6939. I don't say it as fancy as mummy, but I do. I can get it in there.
That's right.
Gentlemen, you were Ron was telling me that you guys had a list of topics that you had gone over, so...
Yes, actually, almost too many. We probably can't do it all. But I'll defer to Wayne, the technology guy, first.
Well, okay, let's start off with, due to the fact that you two and we're broadcasting out of Florida, let's talk about the condo collapse in Miami and how that was an egregious, the whole thing from the very concept of building those, excuse me, was just a big mess. The condos, and there's another one north of it too. It's a sister condo. And
I wouldn't
want to
live
years
in that condo now.
Huh?
I wouldn't want to live in that condo next door.
Oh, no.
I'd want to get out as fast as possible. Yeah.
Well, they were saying that, you know, they aren't going to mandatory, but they highly recommend those that for the building is still standing to leave. And the problem is it was built on reclaimed wetlands. Let's go back to time to Leonardo da Vinci and the design of the Leaning Tower of Pisa. That was its problem. It was low, very wet land that they built upon, and as all that stone and weight was, you know, piling up in that tower, the tower started leaning because the soil wasn't supportive enough.
I've actually been there, and it's staying put the way it is.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're breaking
put.
Up there on me.
I said, I've been there, and it's staying put the way it is. So there's something to be said
for
that.
Well, yeah, but they're doing a lot of,
excavation,
pumping out
and
water, and they're doing a lot of architectural addressing that because it is such a historical building.
Right.
They're doing everything they can to save it.
I don't think they can do that along South Florida beaches, though.
No, of course not. Go ahead.
Yeah, what concerns me is Fort Lauderdale and Miami and Boca Raton and West Palm Beach are all having more high-rises built right near the ocean because all the wealthy want to live in, near the ocean. But that's dangerous because of the hurricanes, of course, and dangerous because of the nature of the area, as you said. So it's actually insane that they're going to build more of those.
Right. Well, the thing is say we're building a substation or even adding on to an existing substation. First things that the civil engineering group does is soil borings because they want to test the quality of the soil, and that'll tell them how deep they need to go down with their pier foundations to support all the forces, wind loading, the weight, all kinds of moments, taking the moments, which is the movement of the steel. All that has to be done. Well, obviously that wasn't done.
They do pile drive, you know. I have been there and watched them.
But these didn't happen.
Venice
was pile
them.
Driving.
The pillars beneath these things, almost every condo that's gone up, I mean, they do have them. They have to have them. Unless they were built before 1950, which, you know, I mean, there have been guys that have fallen in. And, of course, they don't retrieve the bodies.
Right.
In Pompano Beach that happened, and in Fort Lauderdale by the Sea that happened when I was in my teens.
Right.
Wow.
that's just what I'm saying. If there wasn't enough, and that was the problem, there wasn't enough of those pilings, the pier foundation pilings. So let's say, for instance, Venice was built on a swamp, but they were bringing in trees and driving them down, and then that's what the buildings were set on. And because it is surrounded by the water and things like this, and no oxygen was getting to the wood is still very supportive. Well, unfortunately, in Florida there wasn't enough. It wasn't proper enough. Plus, too, things have changed, like the migration of seawater coming in towards the coastal aspect as you're pumping out fresh water to drink and stuff.
For 10 years, the tides have been coming into the city streets of Miami Beach every year.
Well, that's global warming. Yes, that's the
And they know this. And it's like they blissfully remain purposely ignorant. Now you've got 150, over 150 people unaccounted for yet down there.
That's horrible.
Great.
Yeah, it is pretty horrible when you think Miami Beach is supposed to be, you know, one way and it's another.
Yeah, there was a story today on, I think it was CNN, about this one woman who got out with a dog and went down. It's an amazing story, a few survivors, how it happened, but just a few, you know.
Yeah.
That's basically, there was a Baltimore architectural firm that went down and investigated, and they told the condo association and those who owned the condos in those buildings that there was very serious foundation, columns, beams, cracking. So, you know, the degrading of the whole structural aspect of that building. That was in 2018. And as I understand it, you know, now we're talking about now, this is going to take something to correct to the tune of hundreds of thousands of dollars. Well, it'll be in the millions of dollars, right? Which means that basically each and every condo owner would have to pony up about $100,000 each just addressing the foundation and all the structural aspects of that building. And,
well,
you know,
the price
of those condos, right? Someone, you know, I'm venturing to guess each and every one of those could not pony up an extra $100,000 just to be able to save the part of the building that they owned. That's model.
Do you know what the price of a condo on Miami Beach, right on the beach, is worth?
About $500,000, isn't it?
It's more than that these days.
I was going to say it had to be
for the last like 7 or 8 years, it's over $1 million.
Yeah.
Just for a two-room condo on Miami Beach. So, you know, to say they couldn't pony up $100,000 is a lot of horseshit and mud.
But if they're making payments on that, if they're taking everything they can to just make the loan payment on that, that's another extra debt a bit. There's a unit going down here on Spa Creek, just down the river from me. It's close to the historical. So it's going down towards the mouth of the bay. And they're brand new units, and those are $4 million.
Oh my
gosh. The real estate market is way out of joint everywhere.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
We're headed for another one of those bang, bang, shoot 'em ups with the money.
I heard, though, that they're going up now, but I thought I heard the average was $500,000 for those condos when they were bought. I'm not sure about the price now, but I think they probably were at that time.
Most of those condominiums went up, a lot of them, the bare bones of them, they've had facade redos, but most of them went up, the bare bones of them went up in the 70s.
Yeah.
That's prime real estate, always has been for years and years, from the 30s through the 50s and into the 60s. It was known as the Jewish Riviera. But those families walked out of town when the roller skates and colored flags started flying. So my tribe arrived.
That was very picturesque, Glenn. I like that. That was very picturesque.
My tribe arrived, and, you know, that's another thing I wanted to mention, too. Unfortunately, and we've been off the air for a week or a couple of weeks, but I did want to mention the fact that somebody horribly took a truck, a small truck, and ran into the Pride March in Wilton Manors, which is our original, my original group of people from the shop years ago. We used to be spirits.
Accident, though. Not a hate crime.
That was pretty bad. It was awful.
Yeah, but wasn't he like
but it was a person who was
and...
it was in Wilton Manors who was of the same community. It was just an accident, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think he was
senile. I heard it was just a really bad scene all the way around.
And Debbie Wasserman Schultz almost got hit. Congresswoman Schultz almost got hit. Just missed her. Yeah.
Yes.
Gee, that would be a real shame. I can't tell you how that would probably blew the community now. I think
come on, that's not nice.
No, it's not. It really isn't. And I should apologize, but since there's
I met her, by the way. And when I met her, she's very nice. I've heard other things, but I thought she was pretty nice when I met her with my son, you know.
I met her in the campaign of Obama, and she was not very – she had a lot going on, but she was a smart-mouthed person. but
she's assertive. That she is.
Well, and domineering. But what really basically I give her a bad time about is how she's conducted herself as a politician in the Democratic Party, the Democrat Party. So, I'd love to see one of the gay opponents she's facing win, but they won't because it's a primarily Jewish district and she has a lot of good friends in that community. She's done a lot of service for them.
Yes.
So, it's until it changes, it stays the same. She's what I would call a fine patriarch. But, moving along to the other topics. What do you guys got?
Okay. One of the topics was I published a History News Network about 9 days ago about a – I'm not claiming I'm unique, but it's sort of like a brainstorm that came to me because I do think history all the time. How 80 years apart, four times now, we've had an existential crisis. And I came out with 1780, the revolution's on, and Benedict Arnold tries to commit treason, fails, and that saves the ability of the U.S. to become a nation, because otherwise the British would have defeated the United States if they had taken West Point, and it would have been the end of the, you know, so that's 1780 and the years after. And then 1860, Lincoln and the Civil War, not just that year, but the next 5 years, the challenge there to the Republic and to the promotion of some kind of a democracy. And then 1940, 80 years later, FDR being able to run, even though it was a third term, but his opponents were all isolationists. They would not have been good at the time. And then World War II comes on and all that. And now 2020, Trump's challenge to Biden and the crisis that we're still living through. Hopefully this will resolve as well as FDR, Lincoln, and the downfall of Benedict Arnold. But it's all 80 years apart. I thought that was quite fascinating. So I
That is.
It's just, it came to me. I said, wow, 80 years apart, four generations, you know, each time. It's just something I wanted to mention.
I have a question for you, Ron. I've heard this mentioned in groups that I belong to recently, and very diverse groups, you know, not always political.
Yeah.
But people are talking about whether or not there's going to be a civil war in this country, the way things are barreling right along with the divisiveness and isolationism.
I do worry about it. It's a different kind of – if it did come about, it would be very different, though, because the Civil War was North versus South, you know, an actual section. Here is the middle of the country, the flyover country that's against the coastline. So it's not literally possible to separate as far as two nations or whatever. But with all these guns and all these crazy cultists of Trump, it is worrisome that we could have a lot of bloodshed. Yes.
So it wouldn't really be a civil war. It would be an uprising of Anyaks, I guess.
Yeah, I was going to say it's so intertwined. All the lines would be blurred. It'd be, you know, within neighbors of neighbors within neighborhoods, you know.
Yes.
Well, generally, generally speaking, I'm an optimist. I mean, you know, I'm the cosmic Pollyanna of things. Really, I am. But it's strange that this storyline keeps revolving around, and I know how these things get, you know, and it's all bullshit. But you see it in you know, very, very strange ways. A little here and a little there. Everybody has. And I come to think of it, you know, we came close, I think, with the Vietnam War, didn't we, Ron? People,
I missed
getting...
anything of that since. What about Vietnam? Say it again.
Well, there was a lot of turmoil.
Yeah, we came close to uprising amongst people with the Vietnam War and the way things built up.
And also the Civil Rights Revolution and the Gay Revolution and the Women's Revolution in the late 60s, 70s.
Right.
But I really think this is worse right now with Trump, and he just doesn't go away. And, you know, as I wrote the other day on my blog, Republicans are a dinosaur only representing white rural areas, wealthy people, and bigots in a nation rapidly changing toward a diverse society where the majority will not be white in 2045. So it is worrisome, and I think this is worse than the 60s and early 70s in the sense of the divisiveness.
Well, I do know that it looks more and more. I mean, you can't look at the Republican Party objectively without thinking it's just the white supremacy party anymore.
White rural areas, wealthy, and bigots. And what a combination, you know.
Well,
the wealthy just
want
to keep taxes low, so that's why many of them, not all, are Republicans. But the bigotry against gays and against women's rights and against all people of color. And also the cities, they don't like the cities, you know, and that's where all these disgusting quotes people are in their mind. They're mostly white in the rural parts in the middle of the country, many of them. And, of course, the Senate is set up that these small states' population have so much influence in the Electoral College. And, you know, the whole system of our Constitution is in trouble because most of the people are on the coastlines, but yet they don't have the power they should have because of the system set up in 1787.
Wow. Okay.
That's why I think it's worse now than the Vietnam War era and the 60s. That's my opinion.
I agree with that. Plus, two is we've had a much more influx of military-grade weapons being supplied and bought and purchased and things like that. You know, Civil War, you know, you had a man who could put in one bullet, pull the trigger, you know, bring his gun back down and reload it and stuff where he got it up to his shoulder again.
Yeah. I do think, and I don't know whether you agree, Gwen, that Joe is not perfect Joe Biden, but I think under the circumstances we're in, he's probably the, quote, safest to keep the country united, because even some reasonable Republicans don't have a problem with Joe, which I think they would have had, unfortunately, with Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren. Now, I like them, but I could see that they would be probably causing more divisiveness. Joe gets across as someone who can cross the aisle and have some negotiation and some help, like on the infrastructure, part of the infrastructure.
The infrastructure plan is something that they're just juggling in space and the Republicans keep pulling out of. So there's no infrastructure program, really.
Well, the physical infrastructure there is, but not the human infrastructure, which is a separate idea that Biden wants to get through. But I do think that there's a good chance that this guy, who is 78, the oldest president when he came in, hopefully will come back in the future. We will look and we will say he saved the country like a Lincoln did or an FDR did, even though nobody would think that. But I think he can keep the country united. That's my feeling.
Well, I kind of think the same way, too. He's a unique enough person that if this is going to if we are going to stay together and not implode as a democracy,
I would ask you, gentlemen, I mean, like putting pipelines through and allowing the machine to run the way it is always ran, and doing a lot of concession with Republicans, and I know that there's needful compromise to make the machinery run.
We only have 6 feet of the House, and even in the Senate, so there's only so much we can do. If it was a bigger lead like FDR had, believe me, he would do a lot more. But he can't right now.
Exactly. Well, here's the other thing. Getting back to the senatorial aspects of it.
Yeah, God.
You take a state like, as sparsely populated as the state of Montana is.
Well, very large in land, though. Fourth largest in land.
Well, yeah, yes, it's big land. Right? It's big land, but there's
high country.
Right. Well, the thing is, you know, a corporation, a company can go in and pony up a couple hundred thousand dollars to get basically they're bought and paid for senator into the voting aspect of our legislator. And, you know, that's a pretty cheap price. It's not so much that our government is for sale, but the fact that it can be bought for so cheap. That's
yes.
I had a very good political good friend who taught me how to fight political battles, and that was one of his quotes.
It's
not
the fact
that our government for sale, especially with Citizens United, but that it can be bought for so cheap.
Yeah, the Supreme Court is a big problem, but, you know, it's – and I'm worried about the future. Now, will Breyer retire and give Biden the chance to replace him, or is something – or is he going to stay and then – die in office when maybe the Senate does not remain Democratic, or a Democratic senator dies, God forbid, or becomes incapacitated and can't vote, we could end up with a Republican Senate in the middle of this 2-year term. That's what's scary.
And the thing is, you know, the Koch brothers own, I can't pronounce his last name, the senator, the Democratic senator from West Virginia, the Southern Party.
Manchin
is not a Democrat.
No.
And like I said, you know, he was the one that screwed up, you know, the voting rights aspect. You know, people should have
now.
The right to vote.
Now Garland is suing the Department of Justice under Georgia voting law, and I think he's going to go after Florida and Texas.
Oh, yeah.
And else.
Yeah, that's the first salvo is Georgia.
I'm going to sue back. We're just suing back. Question is, what will happen? You know, that's what we don't know.
Yeah, in the meantime, the oil companies are digging in for dear life. I mean, DeSantis just signed a bill that mandates that cities keep using fossil fuels. I mean,
yeah,
really,
DeSantis has
in California, they're mandating that people by a certain time are using more crossover or electric vehicles. I mean,
this is,
and DeSantis is being trimmed and groomed to be some kind of Republican candidate, if you get my
trying to run for president. But, you know, he's got a nickname now. People call him DeSatan instead of DeSantis.
Yeah, but is it going to be enough of
him? The guy is bigger than Donald Trump. I mean, he can answer questions like nobody's business. What he does is he throws the question right back, you know?
Yeah, well, he also
came on
with this,
no,
with this condo association, you know, that building falling. He was there being so compassionate and concerning and saying all the right buzzwords and stuff, what a tragedy this building did caving down and stuff. You know, and he's playing in on that. He's going to cash in on this building collapsing. In Florida.
You know what's interesting? When the accident occurred, the federal government, FEMA, said, we can come in, and he held off almost not quite a full day until he said yes to Joe Biden and to FEMA. And I was like, why are you waiting? Why did he have to wait almost not quite 24 hours? But he was not quick to say yes. That I thought was wrong. But that's him. He makes Rick Scott, the former governor, who's horrible in the Senate, look better. This is how bad things are. That Rick Scott looks better in some ways than, not good, but you know, but looks better than it's gone downhill. Everything's worse.
There you go.
Yeah.
You know, it's reaching 122 degrees in some parts of the West.
Seattle and Portland, yes, that area.
I was
it's crazy.
Say, and that's
and
northwest.
In the desert.
That's usually more.
That's a desert. It was 122 in Phoenix. But,
and I think Death Valley, the record all-time for highest temperature is 134 anywhere, and I think it was 129 a while ago. So it may have passed, or maybe it will pass 134 in Death Valley, California. Seattle's not supposed to have weather like that, or Portland.
Have you ever walked out into that kind of heat? Have you ever been in that kind of heat in the West or anything? I mean, it's a little different in the desert.
Well, in the case of Portland, that's not desert.
Yeah. Phoenix, Arizona, and it was 120 degrees in the shade, and people would say, oh, but it's a dry heat. Yellowstone's a freaking oven, you know? It's 120 degrees. I don't care if the humidity doesn't, you know, will add to it, like you're going to have in Portland and Seattle, if they hit those numbers right.
It's just that it's a little easier to breathe with all the heat. I went out today. And we got in the car, which had been closed up, you know, and so the heat was collective in the
Oh, my God, you get in the car, hot box trying to start the car and touch the steering wheel.
Yeah, and basically I had to stick my head out the window. I was like, Jesus, I can't breathe in
like
here.
Like a family dog.
Yeah, when I started the car, I had trouble touching the steering wheel a couple of days ago, and it was 102, it said.
Yeah,
the
yes.
dashboard, unbelievable.
Yeah.
But it does. Once you put on the AC, it does go down pretty fast. You know?
Right. Well,
the point is that's fossil fuels that you're using to do that. And the other part about this is nobody is looking up and saying that, you know, I mean, the poor little girl from what was it, Norway? You know,
Thunberg.
Thunberg, yeah. I mean, her message has been lost, and even in social media, she gets a little bit of attention here and there. But the truth is that we're boiling, or we're freezing, or there's unprecedented weather. I mean, I'm kind of a little on edge about what's going to happen around here during mean season. I haven't been for a couple of years, but this year I'm a little wondering what's going to happen, you know? But again, it's not the same as it was. That's because the Gulf Stream's all out of whack because of man-made calamity in the ocean. one good thing about the east coast of the Atlantic in our territory is that the billfish are running. They're striking billfish right and left off our coast here. Now, that speaks about an ecological turn towards the good for our reefs out there, you know? So that's a good thing. But, I mean, nobody's paying attention the way they should be. I mean, news will say something, but the population is not paying, the general population is not paying attention. They won't be paying attention until there's nothing to run the AC, or, you know, you have to buy batteries to keep your technology going or whatever.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because
that's where we're going. That's where the future's going with the electrical infrastructure grid is the battery storage aspect.
Yeah.
Here's another thing, talking about the Gulf Stream and things warming up. They just captured and killed an alligator about right in the middle of the day, Calvert Cliffs. It's right across from Dorchester County where my farm was.
Yeah,
that's how much the
water
is warming up, that alligators are have come up this far north.
My gosh.
Well, and they say alligators can't go, you know, they say they're fresh water or, you know, they can't go in the salt, they can't swim in the sea type of thing. That's bullshit. I've seen it.
I wanted to bring up, when you mentioned about Greta Thunberg, or, you know, you just say who was, it made me think, here's a young woman who was very accomplished. But then I thought, and maybe Wayne saw this, there was this 9-year-old girl, I think in Ohio, I'm not sure, who went before the school board of her elementary school to complain about posters in her school, one for Black Lives, and she's a white girl, for Black Lives Matter, and also a poster of Amanda Gorman, the young African-American poet who spoke, you know, gave her poetry at the inauguration. And I'm thinking, what the hell, 9-year-old going to, and really loudmouth the way she, and I'm saying, this is her parents. There's no other explanation why a 9-year-old would do that.
Well, that's being prompted by,
you know,
racism is a learned behavior, and that is prompted by her parents.
I can hear the strains, and I heard him sing it on stage, of Mandy Patinkin singing, Children Will Listen. And they do, children, and it's more in front of me this week than it has been in so long. What our parents set for us, the environment they provide, there's always going to be issues, you know, People go through troubles. But we are very much in the moral compass and behavioral compass, who we, where we come from, where we come from.
Yeah, but it's terrifying that you would be against a poet who happens to be black, who's young and accomplished, that a picture's up or that a Black Lives Matter. You know, I was stunned by that. It's not a teenager. It's a 9-year-old girl, you know?
Yeah, right. I think
I'm
around either Cleveland or Toledo, up in that area.
There,
Ohio.
So is Ohio lately, I noticed so much, isn't it?
You get a bit, well, see, that's why, again, that's kind of tough. Big tour,
never
you know, campaign speeches up there because he's fleecing the in that demographics area of Ohio.
Yeah, I've never liked Ohio. It always gave me the heebie-jeebies.
You were liberated by coming back to Maryland.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know what.
Although you've got what Andy Harris. People who voted against giving the gold, congressional gold medal to the Capitol Hill offices?
Look, Andy Harris, there's a big movement.
One of 21 people did not vote to give the gold, they got it. But I noticed that there was a, that's the one you've always talked about, how monstrous
he
is.
Yes, Andy, my good friend, he was Congressman Wayne Gilchrist.
Yes.
It was Andy Harris whipping up the Tea Party idiots basically, he backstabbed Wayne Gilchrist for that congressional seat.
Well, listen, you know what was really interesting this past week? I chuckled a little. I don't watch the news. I read it now so that I can stop if I have to, just from my emotional well-being. But what really gave me a chuckle was this week was that the New York State Appellate Court suspended Rudy Giuliani.
Oh, yeah, I was going to mention about Giuliani, yes.
This is the first step for unethical actions
while he was trying to overthrow the results of the 2020 presidential election. I mean, now that was pretty good. But the other part about that is that the people who are going in front of courts now and going in front of judges for that offense.
Insurrection.
Yeah, the insurrection who are going are getting little pats on the hand. 7 hours of community service. 7 hours. My first DUI in New York State during the race weekend, I had to do like 100 hours of community service at the long-term care at the hospital. I mean, and I learned something doing it, too.
Uh-huh.
I mean, come on, man. Are you kidding me? 7 hours, and there's a lot of that going on. And
I'm missing some stuff I guess I should be aware of. I wasn't aware of that. Well,
they're all kind of turning on each other, too, I'm told. Who told me? Well, Mummy, Sybil Brunson.
Yeah.
I was having a conversation with her this week, and she was saying, can you believe this? And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, there was a woman. She was like one of the first ones sentenced. She was from either Wisconsin or Minnesota, one of those two up there. She was given 7 hours community service, $500 fine, and 3 years probation. In other words, commit treasonous acts of overthrowing our democracy.
Outrageous. I did not know that. Oh, my God.
It is. And I'm just wondering about not everybody, the yahoos and the people who run with the white sheets on and who, you know, polish the shoes of people like Trump. I mean, they're not the majority of this country at all. And I'm wondering when the majority of this country is going to say enough is enough, you know?
But 2/3 of Republicans still think Joe Biden didn't win the election, according to polls.
Right.
That's crazy.
Yeah, but the thing is, there's still a very small sliver of the country in its voting registration. It's just that almost 2/3 of Democrats don't get off their asses to vote. That's just
the
truth.
That's the real issue. You know?
Yeah. Well,
yeah. You know, you only have as good of a government as you're willing to put in the effort to go freaking
that,
vote,
that's
folks.
True. That's true.
You know, if you can't be bothered, then you suffer with what you got.
Yeah. Kind of gotten tired of hearing people who are, you know, very active in you know, movements to make things better, like BLM and other things, who, you know, will espouse a non-capitalistic approach, yet get pissed off when their taxes don't come back right and their investments are all screwed up, or they've made, and it's like the hypocrisy there is like, okay, because there's really nothing wrong with having some wealth. It's what you do with it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I mean, and you should pay your taxes. You know,
absolutely.
I paid capital gains for years, and I did so because I was taught that that's how the country ran. That's how we keep a government and make roads. And, you know, my community thrives because of it. You know?
Yeah.
No, that's what I was going to say. You have a fiduciary responsibility.
Yeah, a Republican taught me that one, too. And I learned it well. And, you know, of course, my mother did call Franklin, Roosevelt Franklin, Deficit Roosevelt.
Oh, my God.
She did. She was shocked to learn that I did my poli-sci paper on him.
And my dissertation, my first book was on the FDR period, and I consider him, you know, he's got faults, but I still think he is right at the top of the list with Lincoln, you know.
Well, I think Eleanor and all those women who advised him to do a lot of the stuff he did are right up there too, but it was very
absolutely.
Then again, my mother was part of the marches for, you know, women's rights, and she was an active, and she still did Junior League. So, I mean, you know, Republicans can be funny, but they're not the same anymore. They just are not the same.
Very different party to what it was in the past, by far.
Yeah, you cannot compare the Eisenhower Republicans or even
That's who she was before,
we have today.
It's not the TR or Lincoln Republicans or even the Nelson Rockefeller Republicans. You're right.
Really?
Nelson, right.
Yeah,
Nelson Rockefeller.
I
mean, he had his faults, but he was at least reasonable and decent, although, and actually, I voted for him for governor once in New York. I actually broke with the Democratic Party, you know. I voted for him once because I thought he was fairly good, you know. Of course, some would say I was young and stupid.
No.
That's 50 years ago, you know.
Well, it all depends on whose opponent was. I mean, you know, if you had Nelson Rockefeller and Satan, you know, from hell himself, you got to vote for Rockefeller.
Well, also, I liked Rockefeller against Barry Goldwater, but he couldn't stop him in 1964. But, you know, he fought the fight to try to be the nominee. He would have been better, you know. But, you know, he couldn't stop Goldwater. Yeah. But, you know, in 68, I don't know how many of you realize, I don't know whether either of you realize that there was some possibility of Hubert Humphrey picking Rockefeller and having a cross ticket, but he didn't do it.
I kind of remember that, yes.
He was talking about taking Rockefeller. That would have been a dynamite combination, might have beaten Nixon, but instead he picked, and not that he was bad, Edmund Muskie, who looked like Lincoln but wasn't Lincoln.
right.
It's all right, but Humphrey-Rockefeller combination across party lines, but that never works. Just like John McCain considered taking Joe Lieberman in 2008, but he didn't.
Right.
And then, of course, he picked Sarah Palin. Oh, my God.
Well, that was a clown show.
Yes. One thing is good, we don't hear much from her anymore. She doesn't speak up much. I haven't heard much about her lately.
Well, she's had her 15 minutes of fame, and, you know, the family imploded. I mean, they were just basically white trash, you know.
Yes, exactly. And they got divorced, too.
Her daughter, made a spectacle out of herself, too,
Her husband, too. Her husband was going around he was part of this kind of a Proud Boy moment or Boogaloo Boys or something where he wanted Alaska to withdraw from the Union. He was kind of a big movement, right, when she was going around making her Tea Party speeches.
Yeah, well, Texas also, Rick Perry was promoted that years ago, seceding from the union,
Yeah, well.
Sometimes I was like, go, leave.
Texas has been more of a drain on our infrastructure and our taxes and the things like that than they've ever contributed to it. So if they decided to leave, I say good riddance. You know,
Texas is a funny state. I've been through it a few times, and I really like Austin. I like Austin.
Great, Austin.
I went through, the first time I went through with my friends, we were going cross country in the van, and we stopped at Gilly's. And boy, that was a 3-day adventure. That's a bar rail. Gilly's
did
was
party,
a bar rail.
Did we party, girl?
I did not ride a bull, but I watched it. and I learned a two-step, which is elegant. I love two-step dancing, you know?
Well, there you go.
You know, there are parts of Texas, and you can drive in to, you know, a little Four Corners town in Texas, and by God, you walk into a canteen to get, you know, lunch, and there's a bar rail there. Might be a guy sitting there with a six gun on, but he's friendly and helpful. You know, it's not. That never bothered me, but boy, when they are, you know, red dogs.
It's bad.
Well, Texas was like sued by the Attorney General because, you know, they're actually in some ways worse in their law than Georgia on voting rights.
Yeah.
So I guess it's the first step was Georgia, you know. I wanted to mention, by the way, the Texas State Capitol, I really found impressive, and it's larger than the U.S. Capitol.
Wow.
The total area.
Mm-hmm.
It's larger than the United States Capitol building.
Wow.
Well, the thing was, getting back to Barry Goldwater, his famous speech, and you'll have to just paraphrase it. Professor, I'm sure you know what it is perfectly, but basically said, you know, trying to be compassionate and conceding is no virtue, and basically
extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice. Extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice,
So in other words, anything that, you know, what I perceive to be defensive of the, you know, that's where the guns are coming from, you know, inside that thing.
Yeah. But you know what's interesting? If Barry Goldwater was here, and he isn't, if he was here today, I think he would be condemning Trump. I don't think he would tolerate Trump.
I cannot see, well, exactly. Any of those that, our forefathers, any of those that came before that, of a conservative vantage point of the 60s and the 70s.
Even Ronald Reagan, I wonder
even
how
Ronald Reagan, there you go, you took the words right out of my mouth. Even Ronald Reagan could not sign
on.
Don't
bet on it.
To the bullshit.
I would never take that bet, guys. I would never, ever take that bet. Any of those Republicans would not be behind what's been going on, and especially Donald Trump. I wouldn't take that bet at all. I look at the guys who were backing Nixon, like Liddy, and they were also, lots of Nixon's guys were in Donald Reagan's team too. So, no, I wouldn't take that bet a bit.
Well,
but,
I was going to say, there's a clutch of Liddy. Nixon would probably go along with him, with Trump.
I don't know. I think Nixon would probably say, how do you get away with all this?
Well, that's right.
He'd want lessons.
I couldn't.
Yeah, that's right. He would want lessons from Trump. That's where I would sign on that aspect,
Well, you know, the one thing I think Nixon wouldn't get along with Trump with is that the fact that Trump is supposedly a sober guy. He doesn't drink. And
Nixon and a lot of that crowd...
Nixon and a lot of that crowd were freaking drunks, man. they were.
But not officially, by definition. You know, maybe they were.
They were. They actually
The only
were.
Presidents, beliefs have been alcoholics were Grant, Franklin Pierce, and George W. Bush.
He got sober.
What's that?
He, was, well, He got sober. He's clean.
No, he got sober, yeah. But I've read that technically, once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic, and he apparently was.
That's the correct statement, but you're a non-drinking addict or drunk.
Yeah, another interesting thing. Franklin Pierce and George W. Bush are both connected through Barbara Bush. You know, Franklin Pierce, you know, Barbara Bush, Pierce Bush, the first President Bush's wife.
Yeah.
Barbara Pierce, she was directly related to Franklin Pierce, and then her son is George W., so she's connected to two alcoholics.
Well, as my dear departed mother would say, apple don't fall far from a tree, huh? But,
yeah, that's right.
I mean, genetics will tell. They will tell. Of course, me being me, we are all related. But, you know, some of us closer than others.
Exactly.
Yes. I wanted to bring up about Mike Pence, who I don't like at all, that he went to the Reagan Library and said that he was proud of what he had done on January 6th, upholding the Electoral College and all that. And he knows that the Trumpites don't like that, but he still went and said it. And I commend him for that, even though I can't stand the man. But I did write an entry saying, you know, that indeed he is someone who you have to say is a moment to be praised when he stood up for his role in the election,
right,
because he did what he had to do. And I pointed out, so did Richard Nixon in 61, Hubert Humphrey in 69, Al Gore in 2001, Nelson Rockefeller in 77, Walter Mondale in 81, Dan Quayle in 93, Cheney in 09, and Joe Biden in 17. They
were
vice who announced the other side won, or they themselves lost, you know, in a few cases.
Well, yeah, because that was, you know, that was SOP, but,
it was the
proper,
the decorum of a respectful transition of power in our democracy. That's right.
Yes.
We've never had a president who's trying to whip up a treasonous, violent, overthrowing, riot.
Not in public, but
no,
in
not
the
in
Senate,
public. No,
in
right.
Senate
this
chambers
was a very
and Congress. You know,
right.
there's been
a very blatant, right, a very blatant overthrow attempt of our democracy.
Well, those people think that Trump's coming back in August.
Where do they get this stuff?
QAnon.
QAnon, yeah.
I thought since the insurrection
and
all the
Mike Lindell, the pillow guy, my pillow guy has been
but he's nuts,
going
Mike.
Around
hell,
that.
Yeah.
They've got their big plan going.
But now he's being sued by the Dominion voting system, and so is Giuliani,
yeah,
and so is
yeah.
a woman named Sidney Cooper. Yeah,
well,
and they're all going to pay
a
big price financially. Going to bankrupt them all, probably.
Right.
Do you really think so? Or are they
going to
get seven hours of community service and $500 fine? I'm wondering myself.
Well,
it depends on the judge.
Right.
Well, it does,
This is civil court. This is these are damages suffered to a corporation from these laws.
The voting systems, yeah.
Right. They're suing Fox News for $1.6 billion, with a B, folks, $1 billion, for them propagating that falsehood of Trump, Giuliani. What was the woman's lawyer's name that was even nuttier than him?
Oh, I can't remember. Yeah.
Well, I can picture her. She's included in on this.
Sounds like a man named Sidney, but she's a woman. Sidney Cooper. Yeah. She's really whack. But then she later said nobody really believed it. I heard that she made that comment at one point. So she knew she was lying.
Her defense. Oh, we were saying that, but nobody believed it. It doesn't matter if you believe it or not.
People did believe it. He's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they attacked the damn Capitol building.
I'm thinking seriously, instead of calling it the Sunday show, maybe we should just start calling it the world's gone to hell in a handbasket.
That's right. Can we screw this up anymore, folks? How far can we push this idiocy? Oh, good gosh.
And while we're playing Nero and dancing on the grave of, you know, freedom and independence.
You know, there's a quote by Isaac Asimov who says, when stupidity poses itself as patriotism, it's very dangerous to be an intellectual.
Yeah. Well, I wrote an article about journalism being under attack, you know, because it tries to report truth and facts, and yet how we have so many attacks on the major news media, electronic and print.
Right.
So I wrote
right.
about that today. I also wanted to mention that this June 25th, it's a couple of days ago, June 25th is the birthday of a person that I'm sure Wayne would love to talk about, George Orwell.
Oh, love me.
Before.
Oh, yeah. He's a great writer.
1903.
He just opened the book. 1984, which was actually 1948. He just took the two numbers and reversed them. That's when he wrote it. But by God, the Orwellian newspeak, it's, you know, that's Trump. Everything he predicted right there, we are seeing what was totally supposed to be out of realm of even concept. This will never happen. We saw it happen in the Trump administration.
Yes.
I'm wondering.
They also owned Animal Farm, so he had a very short life. He was only 46 when he died in 1950. Sad.
Yeah, yeah.
And
well,
also, Hong Kong, you know, they shut down the only free newspaper, and that 1997 agreement where Hong Kong was handed over to China from Britain was supposed to be for at least 50 years to 2047, and here in 2021, you know, they've totally cracked down, and, you know, the Chinese and Hong Kong no longer has a free media. That's why I wrote about it.
And Hong Kong is lesser and lesser a major money orifice for the planet, too, because of the communist regime. So, they're sort of banking it all back to themselves by their
But the people really want freedom there, and now they've lost it. It's such a sad situation, you know?
Right.
Well, it's funny because China has co-opted parts of capitalism to make things work for themselves, but they're sort of cutting their noses off by spite their faces with Hong Kong.
Well, exactly. You know, Hong Kong could have been the Zurich of Switzerland of money transfer and handling and stuff had they kept it as a democratic isolated aspect where the manufacturing, the cheap manufacturing and everything they've done in China and then the capitalistic aspects of sending all your jobs over to China, that was the gateway of going in between the two. That was, you can see Cerberus the dog guarding the gates of hell between the two, right? And, the more they crack down on that, I would hope, of course, you know, capitalistic money has no conscience. It was Lincoln, Jefferson said, it says, merchant has no loyalty to any country other than the immediate ground he is standing on that he's making a profit.
Yeah, and that's also true with the gay community as far as many of these corporations claim to be pro-gay rights, and they are to an extent, but they do it more just to keep business going.
Exactly.
Well, that's true, but that's also been called progress in this country for lots of years, especially with civil rights. So, it's just more of the same. There's another thing that I was going to touch on. I didn't see that you guys had, but, talking about President Biden, he's having a hard time with his archdiocese, you know?
Yeah.
I just saw where the Catholic Church has backed off from that.
Oh, have
they? Oh, really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, they have.
Ridiculous stuff with them, too.
The announcement that because, you know, his views, personal views, because he's, you know, he's Catholic and takes the views, but he's not going to inflict his views on through governmental aspects
into this.
Huh?
That's right. You're absolutely correct. And they have no right to threaten
right,
him.
Right.
I mean, they can do it, but it's wrong to.
His religious beliefs on others. Because that is an individual's choice.
But also, younger people of all religions are backing away from organized religion. They're being alienated.
Absolutely.
This just adds to it if they start to punish him, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly. So, I mean, this, you know, person in the sky overseeing us all who's, like, heard a line from Big Bang Theory. Sheldon's girlfriend. She says, I don't have a problem with someone who is viewed as a deity, but I do have a problem that he's sitting there taking attendance records.
I like that.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah, well, the thing is, the ones who don't attend may be actually, quote, better and more loyal to basic religious principles of decency, humanity, and all that than the ones who show up to show everybody how nice they look.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Look, I can show you, matter of fact, in the South, the Klan, were pointing to the Bible in the passage saying that, you know, children should be subservient to their parents, and the slave should be subservient and obey. Oh, his wife should obey the husband, the kids should obey the husband, and the slave should obey them all. That's right there in the Bible. And that was their proof that God sanctioned and had no problem with slavery. And the Klan meetings sometimes, many times, were meeting in the Baptist churches.
Yes.
Right, and full, you know, the full Klansman capes and hoods, garb. So, you know.
Yeah, I heard the Baptist Convention elected a leader that's more moderate. There was an extremist candidate, but the more moderate person won, I heard.
Right, well, and because everything being real relative.
Well, you know, most Baptists are not idiots. I mean, in the South, Baptists are, it's just been my experience. I know a lot of Baptists, and they're just usually Democrats, but anyway.
Well, the black Baptists, yes, you know.
Well, no, white ones too.
Well, yeah.
Really? And I didn't think white Baptists were. I thought they might have been, but not recently, because of abortion and gay marriage and things like that they don't like. So I thought they were Republicans, you know.
They, you know, church is a social organization. Let's remember that, gentlemen. I mean, you know, it's like the Knights of Columbus or whatever. Heck, I had a stepfather who used to shake the money basket in front of me to make me embarrassing math. So, you know.
And if you read my blog, there's a piece of a Baptist seminary out there in just south of Chicago. It was in Illinois. It's called the Full Quiver Project. So if you go to my Minds and Times of F. Lee Johnson, go to Full Quiver Project. In other words, the Full Quiver, in other words, all these arrows in your quiver so that you're ready to do battle, because there's going to be, the whites are going to have more children so that they can battle and go into full combat mode when needed, when all the blacks and the Mexicans and stuff come up. That's what they're teaching in that seminary school. And a woman has no choice. God
The whites are not going to have more kids, though. That's the fact.
God decides whether or not to open and close a womb. So the woman has no godly right to control her uterus.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is teaching in that Baptist seminary.
That's garbage.
And they make a full confession and admitting of that fact.
Yeah.
Well, on that lovely note, we are at the end of the hour, gentlemen.
Oh, my.
I want to mention just who I am. I'm Ronald Fineman, theprogressiveprofessor.com, and on historynewsnetwork.org under my name, Ronald L. Fineman. And this has been a great hour. It really has.
It really has been.
So thank you, Ron.
Thanks,
Wayne.
Very good.
Okay. Well,
and
we'll be back
a couple minutes.
Yeah, I know, Ron. I'm the producer. It's 90 friggin' seconds, so let me do my thing, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
We will be back for the Hell, the World's Gone to Hell in a Handbasket show next Sunday at 6 p.m. And, I'm told it's the 4th of July next weekend.
Sunday is the 4th of July. You still want a show?
We will be back the Sunday after, because it's the
holidays. July 11th.
Right. These are holiday family days. So
it's a real show on the 4th of the 11th, yeah. Okay.
Everybody enjoy. And please remember that the show has been brought to you by DaughtersOfIsis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors. A lot of aromatherapy, aromacology, and homeopathy to look through over there. So please stop by. Thank you, Wayne.
Very good. Good night, all.
Thank you. Good night, Ron.
Good night.